are you? Now you see how ugly I really am. Yeah, that's right. Let me see. How about we start today as soon as I find my bulletin? Here we go. Page 619, and let's stand, please. 619. Opportunity to come to your house here today, Lord, to worship you. Thanks for all that made it here, Lord. Bit of sickness going around, Lord. Just pray that you be with those that are down. Get them back here again with us soon. Lord, thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. Our nation's got so much trouble with not enough money, Lord, but we have so much and they just can't figure it out. I just pray, Lord, that our leaders might turn to you for the answer they need in guiding this nation. Thank you, Lord, for my pastor, his wife, his family. Thank you for him being here today. Lord, he's going to preach here pretty soon. Oh, just give him the power, Lord, that he needs today to bring forth your message that you put in his heart today, that it might speak to each and every person in this building today, Lord, that they might get right before they leave this building today. We're going to take communion also, Lord. Be with us as we do so. Help us to consider those things that our Savior did for us, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord. I just pray for a great blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. Are we going to sing now, Autumn? Okay, we got this Ancient Words on the overhead. Do we have that? Okay.
Can I read your verses?
Oh. Before we start, I got to read something. I can find it. Here we go. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, he may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here we go.
Holy Word.
Thank you. Let these folks get down. Here we go. Oh, in your bulletin, here we go. Upcoming events. Don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock is our, we're going to start our Way of the Master training for our evangelism series. We're going to do, get excited for that. Lutheran Homes going to meet on October 8th at 2 p.m. Teacher training is on October 8th at 4:30 p.m. Check with Sondra for the date in October for the Women's Bible Study. Iron Sharpens Iron is going to meet on the 7th and 21st. Can you believe it's October? It's unbelievable. Personal Evangelism, October 3rd and 17th. The Wilton Bible Study is going to be on the 12th and the 26th. Deacon and Trustee meeting, that'd be me, on the 19th. Check with Pastor on the date. Ladies Retreat, November 4th, Walnut Park. Let me know, I think that's Deb, if you're going, so she can let Walnut Park know how many is going to be there. And our joint Thanksgiving service is going to be here at the church on November 19th at 2 in the afternoon. Pastor Stop of the Week, if you're tempted to quit, the first thing to quit is to be a quitter. Wow. Guys, you come forward, we'll take up the warning. Kim, I knew I forgot something. That's something special. Get involved in that, folks. You'll enjoy it. Okay. Okay. One more thing. Ginger's kid tonight. It's been rescheduled for October 7th at 7 o'clock. So if you're a kid, make sure you attend that. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for getting us here today, Lord. Your goodness, Lord, every day showed upon us. Be with our pastors about to speak and be with us now, Lord, as we consider just giving a small portion back to you, Lord. Be with the gift and givers who do so. Bless the time to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I'd like to play a couple pieces of music. One has an upbeat tempo, a little faster otherwise. And the second one I'm going to play is I Love You, Lord. And it's a little bit slower tempo. So I'll see what I can do. When you get my age, you just hope and make it through it.
today for the Lord. Yeah. Do you want to share any more? Or?
Oh, you can speak for me. I'm out.
No. I've known Gene for a long time.
You can tell him a little story about the last song I sang.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Gene just told me that was the first song he played after he received Christ as his Savior. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Gene has been praising God with the harmonica and other musical venues for many, many years. Yeah.
Probably about this much.
We're in the higher mathematics, Gene. Okay. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our services this morning. How's everyone doing today? Praise the Lord. I just wanted to let you know that you're welcome here today, that this is time that is not wrongly spent. It can be and should be beneficial to all of us today. I got to get myself straightened out here, preaching a message about crooked things. Oh boy, we're in trouble this morning. No humor, deadness. Let's wake up, folks. This is the day the Lord has made. We better get rejoicing and be glad in it, right? But I welcome everyone that has come through the doors this morning and anyone that may be with us on our internet program as well. And glad for anyone that's visiting here. God has a special reason for you to be here today. Nothing happens by accident in God's program. And so today, again, we look forward to what God may do in the lives of His people. And I'm thankful today for this opportunity. Just a couple of things here today. The title of our message, though, is Part 2. Some of you remember a few weeks back. And if you need to hear Part 1, it's on our website, and you can clue that in. I'll try to catch us up a little bit. But today's title is Keeping the Church Straight in a Crooked Time. And it revolves around Paul's second charge or challenge to his protege, Timothy. So we'll be looking at the final parts of that this morning. But as you know, that is a challenge that is gargantuan in the day that we live today, to remain true and straight with the Lord in a day that is crooked and perverse upon over and above what we could ever believe. With that said, today also, I invite you back at 6 o'clock this evening. We're going to be working on an 8-week course. It's called The Way of the Master. And what this course is about is evangelism and how we deal with people. And I have reviewed. Some of you already received the booklets last week. Please come again tonight. It's going to be a very beneficial course. And let me just tell you this, it will challenge you. So let me remind us of one thing. You only get out of something what you put into it. But I've reviewed the first part of it already and looked in the book. And I'm telling you, folks, we need this badly. And we need to be challenged. So, you know, if you're going to come tonight, you can come and do that. Twiddle your thumbs. We'll be done on time, by the way. If we don't get done tonight, we'll just carry over week after week, and it'll work out. But if you want to come and do that, you're free to do that. But you know what? What you put into this is what you'll get out of it. And the Lord, by the way, the Lord's given us a mandate. We really don't have a choice as born-again believers about many of these things and how we evangelize. So, folks, we better get it right sooner or later. Because there's no saying that any of us couldn't meet the Lord today. You know, and we better be thinking seriously about that. So if you want to get serious with things and you need help like I do, come tonight and you'll be challenged with these things. Anyway, it's called The Way of the Master. There's no cost or anything. Just come and you'll have a booklet that you can take with you. Also helps if you miss. We have CDs that you can take along to listen to it audio on the audio side. But come and experience that. And again, today we look forward to a little time here at the end of communion, fellowship, and remembering the Lord and what He did for us on Calvary's cross. So with that, again, I greet you. And we're going to take just a few minutes for silent prayer. Again, to adjust our hearts into an attitude of worship, because this is a time of worship, where the saints gather on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection, and again, to let God know how much we love Him, and for, again, a challenge from the Word, edification, growth in Christ. So let's pray for all that today. Pray, too, if there's a soul that needs to be saved today, that this be the day that God would call them, and that they'd respond, and be brought into the family of God, and had their sins forgiven, and a new name written down in glory, as the song says. That's found in the book of Revelation. But also a future with Jesus, rather than one in the lake of fire. So let's bow for a few moments of silence, of prayer, just our hearts, and then I'll follow with a pastoral prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come once again, assembled here as the local church. Lord, I pray that this group today will be enthusiastic and excited about the new life that you have given them in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we do not operate with a dead, stoic religion, but we operate in a living faith. I pray, Lord, again today that you'll shock people into reality about where we're at today. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to be active today in this room as we look into your word, and that it would be convicting and stirring the hearts of the people here that are listening, those that are here physically and those that may be listening at a later time over the internet. Father, again today we want to come and thank you and extol your name, and Lord, again, talk about your virtues and your goodness. You are indeed an awesome God, a holy, righteous and awesome God. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who again you sent as the love gift to pay the price of our sins on Calvary's cross and rise again, conquering death. We thank you for the new life that comes in him, and for the convicting and comforting power of the Holy Spirit today. We pray today, Father, and thank you for that personal ministry and that down payment that you place in the believer, that you are indeed are with us. You tell us in Hebrews 13:5, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Jesus. We can count on you this day and every day for all time, Lord, until we see you face to face. Now, Lord, we thank you for all that have come through the doors today. We pray for our community around us, Lord. We pray for the people that are a part of Fruitland Baptist Church that are not here today. And we are missing quite a few people, Lord. Some, Lord, are ill in the sense of physical ailments, and it's very likely, Lord, that even people here, including myself, have spiritual illnesses too, Lord, and that has an impact. But we do pray not only for those inside of our walls, but, Lord, especially for the community you've placed us in. We pray for Fruitland and the Muscatine and outlying area, Lord, that people would turn to you, and, Lord, that they would be saved, and, Lord, come into a personal walk with you. Lord, that there would be an outpouring of the Spirit in our day of people coming to you and repenting and changing from the wicked and perverse situation that we find ourselves in today. Now, Lord, again, we pray for those today that may be struggling also. Maybe there's been problems in a family, Lord. Maybe a marriage that's breaking apart. Lord, it could be all kinds of things, depression, all different things, problems with children, Lord, financial difficulties, all kinds of things that touch the heart of humanity. We pray today, Lord, though, that we lay those aside now and let your peace pass upon us, but also, Lord, if need be, your conviction, and that we would be changed this day through the preaching of the word. Now, Lord, that brings the other thing I have to bring up this morning, and that's me, because, Lord, I'm not capable or qualified. But, Lord, I've been placed in this position by you, called to do it, and I pray that you'll empower me, Lord, as we finish this message. And, Lord, I need your strength because I am weak, but you are strong. I pray that every time I step up behind this desk here, Lord, to deliver your word. So, Lord, I give it to you, and I'm the weak link in the chain. I pray that you'll help me once again, Lord. And now we just give all this to you, anticipating a little later, Lord, a time of fellowship as we're reminded vividly today of your body that bore our sins and your blood that was shed to cover our sins on Calvary's cross. Lord, may you and your presence here be honored today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I won't go through my whole introduction to this message, but if you remember, we looked at several passages. We looked at 1 Timothy 3, 14 through 16, about, again, the importance of keeping a church straight doctrinally in a crooked and perverse generation. And the way that I began that is that it is becoming increasingly difficult in our current situation to find people that are willing or qualified, once again, to take on that responsibility of keeping the church straight. And as I illustrated that day, most of the church today, which I don't believe is the real church, it's only in name only, the real church is a body of believers, once again, that are professed in Christ, that have been identified with him in believer's baptism, and are walking with him. And by the way, the church is primarily for the believers. It's the gathering. In the Greek, it's the word ekklesia, of the saints. We're to come here, again, to glorify God, but to help each other to grow in the Word of God and to be an evangelistic force in the area where we have influence around us, wherever that may be, whether near or far away. But the church is, as I illustrated in that early day, or in that first day that I was teaching about that, it is the pillar and ground of the truth. And if the church doesn't stand for the truth, everything else above it will decay. So, folks, it's an imperative, especially in the day that we live, that we continue to stand and maintain the truths, the doctrines, that's what doctrine means, that are found in the Scriptures, the 66-book Bible. Anyway, we looked at 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. We looked at 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. And we saw in there the charge, again, that Paul had given to Timothy. He gave five charges in that text. We are just focusing microscopically here in these two messages about the second one that he gave, and that is indeed how to keep the church straight in a crooked and perverse generation. So, folks, let me just say this morning. None of us are off the hook here today. Do you get that? We have a responsibility to the Lord, and my friends, we will, again, be accountable to him about this. Don't ever forget that even believers will come under the judgment of Jesus Christ, not for condemnation into hell, but again, for what we've been doing with our accountability here on earth. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, folks. It's not the great white throne judgment where people are, again, brought before the judge, who is Jesus Christ, and they come there and say, well, look what I've done, Lord, and Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I knew you not. Because the Bible teaches us we're not saved by works. We can't do good works because we're not good. The book of Romans tells us there's none that are righteous, no, not one. And that's you and I. We're only righteous because we've had Christ's blood applied to our unrighteous account and been declared righteous. It's all about him. So, folks, we have to understand, though, even when we're saved, we will be called into accountability for what we have or have not done as saved people by the Lord. That'll be an interesting day. And Paul says it's a time that will be very scary. And I believe that because, you know what, folks, I stand before you today as a deficient Christian. I have not done all the things Jesus has asked me to do. I have not done all the things that I should have been doing. And I'm going to struggle with that in this flesh, but I want to do better. How about you this morning, folks? Yeah, Jesus, when we meet you, we want to have you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Can we all say that today? And I have to say and confess because God knows this. By the way, you can't play games with God. He knows it all. He's the best record keeper that ever existed. Even the IRS can't overdo the Lord. And they know a lot about us, but I'm telling you, God knows. And so I'm telling him straight today, Lord, I need your help. When I meet you, I want it to be where you'll say, John, I at least acknowledge you tried. You know, I pray that he'll say that. And I want to do that, but I want to warn us today about all of that. Well, that brings us then to today's text, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. In fact, we started on this a little bit before we had to stop the last time that we met, and which has been what? The 17th of September. And yes, Lonnie, here we are in October. You can even see it in the sun. Sun's starting to shine in those windows in the morning. That means it's headed south over the equator. So we're headed for winter weather again. We'll thank God for it. He has a reason. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9. I'm just going to reintroduce a portion of this, and you can look at those other texts, but it tells again the symptoms of the church in the later days. This is about the church. This is not about the secular society. We all know the secular society is a disaster around us. It's been a disaster before. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And folks, we've been around the merry-go-round many times, but this is one of those darker times again that our culture and our day has had in the history of humankind. And I believe that, you know, this also has effects on the church, and it did in Paul's day and in Timothy's day. Let me just assure you, Paul told Timothy, he told the Thessalonians that we are in the late days, almost 2,000 years ago. So folks, we're 2,000 years closer to the working of God's program. He doesn't say specifically when it'll be, but as I preached that last time, he gives indications of the seasons. And folks, you know, one of the big things that you find in Matthew 24 is that Jesus illustrates the days of Noah. And remember what he says? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And folks, we know this, that people had fallen away. There were only 8 souls, 4 times 2, Wilton Mathematics. 8 souls that were brought into the safety of the ark. The rest of the world rejected God and his call to repent and to come into a personal walk with him. Folks, I guarantee it's not biblical that I can prove it from, but there were scratch marks on the door of the ark. And folks, there's going to be scratch marks another time for people too. Because you know what? Jesus is the door. And when he closes the door, it'll be shut. And no man can open it. But Jesus, the door is still open today. Walk through and receive him. By the way, he doesn't force you. You have to open the door. But he's waiting for you today. Anyway, here it is. And you can listen to the recordings of this. The first part was when it was introduced. But I just bring you back here to 2 Timothy 3:1. Paul is telling Timothy, he says, "Know this also, in the last days, perilous times shall come." Greek word, kalepos. Fierce, furious, and stressful. And folks, as I illustrated, does that not speak about the day we live in today? But it's not just in society and in the culture, it's in the church. If you're here today, and I still believe Fruitland tries to tell the truth, you know, we haven't totally soiled our garments, but I'm telling you folks, the churches around today that are called churches may not be really churches. I'm just telling it, you've got to check it with the Word. Because the church is not going to be a popular place when the truth is spoken. You get what I'm saying here today? Because you know what, folks? It's going to cause division. Jesus says this, essentially, you're either with me or you're not. And I like to say this many times, there's no neutral in God's gearbox. You're either with him or you're not. Okay? And that's what it comes down to. But here Paul is teaching and telling Timothy, this is what's going to happen in the church. If you've been around a Bible-teaching, believing church, you know it is not a place that is docile. You know that from Fruitland Baptist Church if you've been around here a few years. Now, we may all look docile here this morning in the seats. By the way, come unglued a little bit here today, folks, for the Lord. But this can be a very radical, rough place to exist in, can it not? Amen. You better know this. When you get involved with the Lord, it isn't going to be 3 points in a poem and a bouquet of roses. You hear me? Yeah. It's going to be rough, and you're going to be challenged. I told someone yesterday that stopped in my office, I was painting on some of the buildings a little bit this week, and the cattle, about probably 50 of them, were resting under a lean-to where I was painting, and I was up in the cracks there and working and on a ladder, and I didn't rile the cattle. They were laying there, but I could feel the heat coming off of the bunch of cattle, you know, and the smell, and I like that. I still like the cattle smell. But I was just thinking, you know, this is just like the church. I looked at those cattle. Of course, they're not mine. They're the boys. And I thought, you know, this is just like the church. You never let your guard down because there's always something going to happen with the sheep in the church. You wonder, how's this going to shake out? What kind of trouble? Just like the boys do. And again, it's their baby with the cattle. But you know, what one of those critters is going to become ill? What one of these critters is going to have trouble? And folks, that's the heart of a pastor. You're wondering all the time what's going to happen next. And what you have to do is trust God. And it's the same thing with all of us, folks, in our walk with the Lord. Our stand for Jesus is going to disrupt family fellowship. It's going to have a factor on everything. And you better be ready, folks. But I'll tell you what, there's no more blessed thing. You can't buy a cruise or a trip or anything else that compares to the trip you'll be on with Jesus. It'll be interesting. And I'll tell you this, folks, I've said it many times. Education costs. If you go to the academic side of thing, it's going to cost you. But, folks, it's going to cost you wherever you're at. And if you want to grow in Christ and be educated in Christ, it's going to cost you. I don't mean going to seminary. I mean it's going to have a cost. You'll live it. Anyway, that's the indication of the church in the late days. Trouble, perilous times, stressful times, fierce times, furious times. Kalepos, that's what the word there, perilous, means. And we started in on this. This is talking about the church, folks. You know, I was introducing to the junior, senior high class this morning, biblical communism. I saw some jaws drop. You know something? You want to see how the church should be done, you go back to Acts chapter 2. At the start of the church. By the way, usually when things start, they're more right than they are when they go down the trail a ways. Amen? But I'll tell you, something dynamic happened in those people that were saved there at Pentecost. And it's something different than takes place today in many people. But they were moved by the Spirit, folks. If you don't allow yourself to be changed and transformed by the Spirit through the Word of God, you're going to be dead. You're never going to enjoy and understand your salvation to the fullest here on this side of eternity. See? Because what happened there was such a dynamic thing that took place that me was changed into, class?
We.
Me was changed into we. I asked Kinzer what he'd be willing to give me and asked what his prized possessions were. He said a couple of trophies. He wasn't ready to let me have those yet today. And I said I'd let him drive one of my old international pickups, but I'd be right there close to the brake pedal. But folks, we're not right. It's about me, not we, and about he. See, Jesus. I admit to you, I need help. But Jesus will help me if I'll take it. See, the help is there if I'll take it. Anyway, you saw that in verse 2. Let's go on, though, and look at this briefly, and then I'm going to give you the solution to this, how the church stays straight. Because you can't just talk about the problems without giving a solution. Otherwise, you're what? Well, yeah, you're just... And people love to say how bad things are, and we need to understand that, but we also need to understand how good they can be. And that's still available to us today through Christ, okay? We don't have to live like the rest of the world. We can live for Jesus, and it'll be refreshing. You know, we don't have to have the toys and the trinkets, but we need Jesus. Yeah, anyway, here it is. I won't go back over all this, but let's go to verse 3 here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And these are just some of the things that are going to be going on. Even in the church here, Paul says, without natural affection is the first thing that he brings up there. Sexual perversions. And folks, we are living in the midst of a culture that has been motivated by this through print and other medium now for over 100 years. And becoming very prevalent in the media that we're around. You see, that's a part of it. We go right down the line, and it sounds once again like modern-day culture, but it's also in the church. It shouldn't be. Truce breakers. No accountability. No agreement keeping. By the way, folks, one of the most popular fields of study, and I've shared this with some of you before, when I took a college profile test when I was in my early 20s, it came up, you should either be a pastor or an attorney. See, I fought the Lord for about 20 years before I yielded. But, folks, there's a lot of attorneys out there today. Why? Because there's a lot of crooks, and there's also a lot of crooked attorneys. So, you can lump that all together. But anyway, people don't keep agreements. By the way, that's just very common today. Well, there's always a way I can what? I can get out from under something. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You're not going to get away with that with Jesus. He knows. He knows. Truce breakers, false accusers, slanderers. Every day when we turn on the news And I'm telling you, don't trust everything that the news says either. I don't care who you're looking at, on the right side or the left side. It's all spun, folks. But I'm going to tell you where you can find the real truth. It's right here. Jesus is the truth, and His Word is the truth. It'll never set you wrong. But notice here, it says what? False accusers. You know, our news today is filled with slander against people. That's what false accusing is. Incontinent is the word the King James Version uses here. And that really means this, that people are powerless to do right. They've just given themselves over to a lifestyle where they don't seek to do anything that's right. They just do what's expedient. Okay? Yeah. Fierce. Well, we already defined that word. People are a little high-strung today, aren't they? I can't believe it at a stoplight. If someone doesn't move this instant, beep! I think back to old Melroy Jenkins up in Chicago years ago, hauling cattle up to the Chicago stockyards. Melroy wasn't afraid of anyone. And some car that he had an IHR 190, and it died after being overhauled. And of course, you know, back, when it was hot, someone laid on the horn behind Melroy. He got out of that semi and went back. Boom! Hit the guy right in the face. You know. People are wound up. I'm telling you, folks. I went to get some parts the other day on the interstate. I was doing about 70, which is legal. But I'll tell you, there was a car past me. They had to have been doing 120 plus. Yeah. You know, people are out of control. We're there. But this is Christian. You know, you got to be careful because the person that was doing 120 might have been a Christian. Or the people you lay the horn on, maybe they're a believer. Maybe they're just having a rough day. Back off, people. It's crazy. And it's like that in the church. We may not get this done today. Does anyone have a problem? I'll try. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. I'll tell you what, folks. If you do good, there will be people that will hate you in our current environment. It's the warped, satanically driven thinking that's around us. Traitors. By the way, who's a famous traitor in the Bible? Judas. Yep. Not truly committed. Two-faced. Hypocrite. By the way, the definition of a hypocrite is an actor. Portraying something that they're not. Yep. Traitors, heady-minded. I've got written in here, I didn't put the Greek thing here on that, but it's puffed up. People are pretty proud of themselves today. By the way, the Bible tells us pride goeth before a fall. And I'll tell you what, pride is directly involved in the first thing with Satan when he fell away from God. It was me, not he. And it'll get us every time, folks. Lovers of pleasures. You don't believe that? I've noticed many times with Kim when we go up through town on a Wednesday night, the bowling alley is full, but there's only 15 cars at Fruitland Baptist. The soccer fields are full, but Mulford Church doesn't have too many people in the parking lot compared to the soccer fields when they're playing on a Sunday morning. Have you noticed that? We have seats that are empty here today because some people probably, and that's between them and the Lord, but you better be careful what choices you make. He says, don't forsake this because we need it. Yeah, but you know it. They're a lover of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Folks, that's what religion is that's out there today that is not the true church. They have a form, it looks good, but it's dead. You know, Fruitland can suffer from that too. We suffer from deadness. I'll tell you what, if the Spirit gets a hold of you, it won't be a form of godliness, but it'll be the power of God that rests in you, and you'll see dynamic things happen. Again, what we're looking at on Sunday night isn't going to change people unless God changes you. Amen. And you allow Him. But there are tools that you can use. It's like trying to go out and do a job that you need a wrench with a screwdriver. It's not going to work. We got to get the tools and we got to learn how to use them, folks. And it'll be good. All right. Let's see. Well, of course, notice there. You know, sometimes people like me are known as separatists. And maybe some of you in here are this way too. By the way, the Bible endorses separatism to a point. We need to depart. We need to separate from the world and from apostasy, false teaching. And we need to be separated unto God. That's what the Bible message about that is. But you know what? Timothy was told clearly by Paul here. He says, don't get yourself hooked up with these people. Don't get yourself hooked up with these churches that are not preaching the truth. Does it mean you can't talk to the people or have a time to... Not at all, or be friendly with them, but you do not agree with their doctrines and go along and endorse that, folks. That's what's tough, see? You know, they won't write me here in any of the... Well, I think the little paper, did it go bust or what? It's a different paper now that comes out. They wouldn't write me in that, and I used to write for the journal because I'm not a part of the ministerial association. Well, how am I going to be a part of the ministerial association with people that aren't teaching the truth? Because then when people look at me, they're going to say, what? Well, he's right along with them. Well, I'm not. So you know what? That's a good thing. I was talking with a guy yesterday. Fruitland is an independent, dependent church. We belong to no organizations. This is it right here, folks. But we're dependent on Christ, or we better be. Okay, that doesn't mean we can't associate with others of like faith and practice, but we're not going to compromise the Word of God to any external forces. Amen. Well, we're in trouble because it's really time to do communion. Lonnie waved me off. He's the high power here this morning. Well, it gets tough, especially here for the gals in verse 6, so we'll wait till next week. But, folks, this is where we live today. This is the environment in the church. Don't tell me we're not in the later days and that Jesus' return is imminent. By the way, folks, it's either that or what? There's going to be a revival. And people are going to get turned around. They're going to repent, see things differently. And there could be great things happen. Never discount either one. The message of the New Testament is to watch and be ready. And that is a personal challenge and goal. Now, I'm going to read you the conclusion so you get your money's worth. But we'll have to come back. Is that okay? All right, but here it is. The protocol for that day and for the current day, thinking again about Timothy's day here, Paul, 1900 years ago, give or take, or the current day church to stay straight in a crooked time. I have slipped up. Go to Philippians 2, 14 through 16. We'll come back, but I want to give you the conclusion. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 2, 14 through 16. This is the remedy in case you don't get back. And we'll look at this in depth more. But here it is, folks. This is a message to the church from Paul, and it was to the church at Philippi. Three verses quickly, permit me. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. The day for fighting each other is over. The day for fighting Satan is on and standing for Jesus in the war. Do all things without murmurings, grumbling, or disputings. Grumbling is what murmurings means. Notice this, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. By the way, rebuke means what? Chastisement, corrective action that needs taken place, that you may be without rebuke in the midst of a what? Crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Folks, that's what we need to be doing, shining the reflective light of Christ, you see, and get out of this darkness. Let the light of the world shine through us to the people around us. Holding forth the word of life, which is the word of God. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I ask you this today, and myself included. Are you running in vain today, or are you getting down with the program that is ordained to see God's people and His church operate in the days of a crooked and perverse generation. Now the conclusion. Come back and we'll finish this too at a later time. So the protocol for that day and for the current day church to stay straight in a crooked time. We've heard most of it here in the essence of what we've looked at this morning. And this is the essence of it. It's a close walk with Jesus and His Word. A close walk with Jesus and His Word is vital for us to not only survive, but I think we can thrive for Jesus in the environment that we operate in today. In fact, I don't just think it, I know it, because God said it. So my question and challenge for us today is, or charge, as Paul gave Timothy, won't you draw close in your renewed or a new walk with Jesus today? That's what it's all about. And we're going to illustrate that here this morning as we fellowship around the table with communion. Amen. Deacons, go ahead and come up. Yes. Okay. All right. Let's bow in prayer at this time. Father God, we come now on behalf of our sister Judy. Lord, we know just as we're talking here today that events that take place, Lord, are going to happen. And we need to be in the right standing with You, O Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You have preserved many lives that have had opportunities second, third, fourth, many times, Lord. But now we just lift our prayers up for Judy, Lord, that Your will be done, first of all. But, Lord, from our perspective, that You would raise her back to health, if it might be, Lord. Now we pray for the caregivers and the family, Lord, as they walk through this. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Deacons, if you'd come forward, please. This is a time known as the Lord's Supper or Communion, and it was instituted by Jesus there in the upper room with His disciples before He went to the cross. And many people have conflicting thinking about this, but the Bible's very clear about this. This isn't something we do to get saved. It's not a sacrament. It's a memorial, and that's how Jesus intended it. He wanted on a regular basis His followers to understand what He was going to the cross for, that His body would bear the sins of the world on Calvary's cross. By the way, think about that sometime. All the people that have ever lived, potentially Jesus died. Well, He died for them to be saved. Not all will receive it or accept it. But He bore all that sin in His body on the tree. And then He not only bore that, but He shed His blood to cover our sin. So that when God sees us, He sees Jesus' blood. He doesn't see our sin. Man, that's big stuff, folks. And that's what's represented here. The cracker, Jesus' body. It doesn't turn into His literal body. It's just a representation of it. But we try to do it accurately. It's a cracker from unleavened bread. Leaven is a sign of sin in the Bible. And then also fruit of the vine. If you look back into that interaction with the disciples, Jesus said, this cup, the fruit of the vine, juice. This is not fermented. Because again, that's a symbol of sin. So we try to accurately portray this. But folks, we do it once a month here at Fruitland. But what really Paul says is to do it whenever you eat or drink. Think about Jesus. It's a great time when we eat. By the way, we all eat. Don, I knew you were going to laugh on that. It's a good time to remember Jesus when you start to eat. But anyway, today, Lord, we want to acknowledge we haven't forgotten You. So Paul says this. I have to cut to the chase. We'll have a message just on communion sometime. We have in the past. But here's the thing today, folks. If you're not in fellowship with Jesus, if you've never been saved, obviously don't participate in this. But even above and beyond that, if you're not in close fellowship with Him today, take this time to see yourself restored with him in the fellowship. Pass it by. And folks, if you're not in fellowship with one another, you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're struggling, better to pass this by and see it set straight with Jesus. Anyway, this is supposed to be a time, again, when we think about him and where we're reminded of his goodness for us. So as we begin this today, I'm going to ask Lonnie if he would thank our Heavenly Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that his body, Jesus came as the God-man, fully God and fully man. He knows what we go through, folks. But he was divine, and he was the only thing. And that's what the hypostatic union is, fully God and fully man. He was fully man yet without sin. He was the only one that could pay the price for our sins and expunge those on Calvary's cross through his righteousness that covered our unrighteousness. Brother Lonnie.
Father, thank you that we can come here today, Lord, and remember what your precious Son did for us. Thank you, Lord, that he sacrificed for us. Thank you that he came here on this earth. He became man. He lived with us, Lord. But, Lord, he was pure. He knew no sin. He had compassion for the lost, Lord. He gave his life for us, Lord. Thank you for the brutal beatings that he went through, Lord. Thank you for the crucifixion. And Lord, as the pastor said many times, and your word says it also, he never died, Lord. He gave up his life.
Yeah.
He gave his life for us. Thank you for what he did. Thank you that we can come here today, enjoy these elements, Lord, and they are just that. They symbolize his body, they symbolize his blood. But help us to remember, Lord, his love for us. Ultimately, Lord and Father, your love for us. May as we continue, be with Judy too, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Take a minute out of your time and read a verse for you. It's in a
morning. And it's out of First Corinthians, verse 10. And we see that Paul is the one that wrote this letter. And but I want to add something that Jesus is the one that said it. And it goes like this. He says, I beg you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no division, among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And what better time to make a decision for the Lord than at the communion table?
Yeah.
Our Father, again, we thank you for your love, Lord. And we thank you for proving that love. But the question I've been asking me for the past week, Lord, what am I doing to prove my love for you? And oh Lord, help us. We need your help always, Lord. But, help us to take this time serious, Lord. It's a serious matter that's before us, Lord. We need to draw closer to you, Father. Help us. Make us more like you, Father. We pray that not only make us more like you, but help us to speak like you and with the rest there, Lord. So again, we just pray your mercy today, Lord. May this be a time of drawing back to you and wanting you to work in our life, Lord. So again, increase our love for you, and especially one another too, Lord, that seems to be absent at times. Now, Lord, bless our time together, Lord, and bring us closer to Jesus.
Amen. Jesus believes in guarantees. And this is what he said there as he was with the disciples. He says, this cup is the New Testament, the new covenant, the new guarantee. A covenant cannot be broken. At least not, this is not a conditional covenant, it's a certain covenant through Christ. This is the New Testament in my blood. That's how he guaranteed it. This duty is often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus had a lot of good times with his disciples. We need to have good times with each other. So this morning,